Thank you, Ms. Ruthie. Appreciate that. Let's take our Bibles and turn to Genesis chapter 30, if you will. Genesis, first book of the Bible, chapter 30. Pray for Paul Flowers. He went in a week or so ago with a bowel blockage, something was twisted, and they operated, and things just, they thought he'd had things worked out. They sent him home, and before 24 hours, they took him back, and he had another pretty major surgery last night, have an emergency, and he's just really a hurting pup. He's in a lot of pain, and so they found another blockage. What happened was, so they're not sure what all is going on there, but he can really use your prayers. And of course, his wife, Miss Jenny, is not only trying to take care of him, but her parents are at their house, and they're up in age, and you know, a little bit of dementia here and there and so forth, and so she's trying to tend to them and tend to him, and so just really has her hands full. So you pray for them and know they appreciate it. Genesis chapter 30. I was doing some studying here I've been reading my Bible and so forth, and some months ago, this thought came through. We were in the middle of some other things, so I didn't preach it. But I wanted to bring something to your attention. She just sang a song that kind of aims this direction. Sometimes things happen in life, we don't understand why, and don't seem to fit. They don't seem to be what they need to be. And there's probably not one particular reason for all that. There's a variety of things that can cause those things. And this is kind of hitting it from a different angle, but I want you to see something here. It's good in some ways, but it's bad if we stay here. Okay, now hang on. I'm just trying to tease you a little bit here. What we're going to talk about is good in some ways, but it's bad if we stay here. And that's what happens, I think, sometimes in our Christian life. We've been studying the life of faith on Sunday nights, and we've had a lot of things in between here. But we started out with Abraham and then Isaac and Jacob, and now we're in Joseph. And there's a phrase that has come up several times, or a version of that phrase, and I want to read it to you. We're not going to really exegete one particular passage. We're going to kind of bounce around, so if you can fly fast in your Bible, stick with me. Otherwise, just listen close. I'll give you some scriptures. You can write down the references and go back and read them yourself later so you can see where I got all this. But I want you to listen to this. In Genesis chapter 30, verse number 25, if you will, Genesis chapter 30, this is the story of Jacob. Of course, Jacob, you know, was the son of Isaac, and he had twin sons, Jacob and Esau. And Jacob wasn't much of a guy, but he believed God, and he wanted the blessing of God, and didn't always do things right, and he kind of had to head out of town. And so he's living with his mother's brother, Laban, and while he's there, he came across the wife, and she was a real knockout. Her name was Rachel. He just thought she was the most beautiful thing he ever saw, seen. And Laban says, well, you can work for 7 years, you can have her. So he works for seven years, and the wedding day comes, and of course, there wasn't any electric lights, and so when the party was over, they went back to their tent, and Laban didn't give him Rachel, gave her older sister, Leah. And they talked about Rachel being beautiful. What they said about Leah was she had nice eyes. I think it was just about to be nice, but he had nice eyes. And so they wake up, and here he is with Leah rather than the woman he wanted. So Laban was a mess too. And so he said, well, I'll give you Rachel, but you got to work another 7 years for her. And so he does, and in the midst of all this, finally, when he gets married to Rachel, and she's not able to have any kids. But meantime, Leah's having all these kids, and you know the story. They had the handmaids and all the stuff that, you know, God's not endorsing all this stuff. It's just what happened. And so finally, Rachel gives birth to her son, Joseph. And so that's where we come to. And Jacob said, you know, it's about time for me to go back home. I'm done with all this. So verse 25 of Genesis 30 says, "And it came to pass when Rachel had borne Joseph, that Jacob said unto Laban, send me away that I may go into mine own place and to my country. Give me my wives and my children, for whom I have served thee, and let me go, for thou knowest my service which I have done thee." He says, you know, now he says, you made a deal. I made a deal. We said 7 years for Leah, 7 years for Rachel, and we've done that. And I kind of hung around a little longer than necessary. And you know, I've been faithful. I've done what I'm supposed to do. I'd like to be released from all this, and I'm going to go back home. Verse 27. And Laban said unto Jacob, unto him, I pray thee, or I beg thee, or I make it a really firm request here. If I found favor in thine eyes, tarry or wait, for I have learned, watch this, I have learned by experience that the Lord hath blessed me for thy sake. Now, for those who don't know this, when you, if your Bible has the word Lord all in capitals there, the King James does, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, that means Jehovah, the self-existing one, the God of all creation. And so he's saying, you know, the God of everything has, he says, the God of everything has blessed me for thy sake, Jacob. Now, Laban doesn't, there's a lot of things that Laban doesn't do right, but Laban realized that he was being blessed not because of his own righteousness, but because he was standing close to Jacob, if you will. Back here in the men's room in this building, we have public water. If you turn that faucet on to, especially in a light suit, you turn that faucet on there, it starts spraying everywhere. Now, it's not the faucet, it's just so much pressure, it hits the bottom of the bowl and splashes out. You know, you get it all over you before you get out the door. And so you get every, and so if you turn it on, everybody around you gets splashed too. Now, that's kind of what happens sometimes. There's somebody getting blessed. And it's not necessarily wrong to stand around where the blessings are getting splashed on you. That's okay. But let's not just be satisfied with secondhand blessings. I want to be able to, this is not funny. I want to go in there and turn that thing on and get splashed myself. Not really, but you know what I mean. I want to be able to, listen, maybe I'm not near, I want to have a relationship with God that I'm not just living on secondhand blessings. I want firsthand blessings. So we're going to talk about this morning secondhand blessings. Secondhand blessing. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for speaking to us. We've got lots here to cover. Give us your Holy Spirit. Move in our hearts. Help us understand this. Can't really cover everything. And some of these stories may be new to some folks, and I really can't give all the background. But Lord, you can do the work. You're the Holy Spirit. It's your word. So Lord, I ask you to do the work. Help us to get the lesson you've caused us, that you want us to have. Give each of us exactly what we need. Lord, to be one who doesn't know Christ as their Savior. May they come to know Christ, because they want that first blessing. Lord, we ask for what you're going to do in Christ's name. Amen. Now, we enjoy being blessed by God. And I think we can even be a little flattered, if you will, for lack of a better term, by the blessings of God. We think, well, if God is blessing me, then I must not be so bad. In fact, I must be doing pretty good. Hey, I'm a pretty good Christian because I'm being blessed. Now, that may be true. But wait a minute, just because the blessings go away doesn't mean that he's forgotten you. There's times when he takes us through the valley of the shadow of death while we're going down from down the paths of righteousness. That does happen. But not all the time. There are times when we're being blessed because, you know, the Lord has blessed us. He promises to bless us. But you know what, if we're not careful, it might be true that we're being blessed until we get too proud of our goodness And then God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. And so all of a sudden, we're not going to get blessed because we are proud of ourselves. On the other hand, I believe there are many people who live on secondhand blessings. Some of these people are folks who are saved, but are living for self, but also living near others, if you will, in life, or under the umbrella of others, and they're enjoying the after splash of the blessings of God on others. You follow what I'm saying? They're enjoying being splashed with the blessings of others. There's nothing wrong. You ought to run with the right crowd. I want the right things splashing on me. I'll be honest with you, I do. But some folks, they live there, they want being blessed because we're getting the splash. Now, in Deuteronomy 11, it says this, verse 12. A land which the Lord thy God careth for the eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it, from the beginning of the year even unto the end of the year. And it shall come to pass, if ye shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, that I will give you the rain of your land in his due season, the first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn and thy wine and thy oil. So basically he's saying, back in the law, he says, if you'll do right, I'll take care of you. I'll let you have the rain at the beginning when you need it. I'll let you have the rain at the end when you need it. In other words, he's saying, I will guarantee you, and by the way, listen to this, I guarantee you that not all the Israelites were perfectly right with God when he gave you that and they gave that promise. Not all of them. Okay? Not all of them were perfectly right with God. However, in general, the nation was seeking to do right. And the Lord blessed the nation for it. Now, some were probably receiving more blessings than they deserved. And some may have had their blessings limited some, because there were some in the nation that were not really serious about their walk with God. So in other words, you know, God blesses a nation, but there's a variety of people inside that nation. Deuteronomy 11:16 goes on and says, take heed to yourselves, that your heart be not deceived, and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. And then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you, and he shut up the heaven, and there be no rain, and that the rain yield not her fruit, the land yield not her fruit, unless ye perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord giveth you. In Deuteronomy 8, it talks about, you know, we get our heart lifted up so high and we get proud, and God has to humble us all over again. Now listen to what Jesus says in Matthew 5. He says, ye have heard that it hath been, verse 43, if you will find it, 5:43, ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. Watch. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. So when the people in general are seeking to do right, the Lord blesses the people, even those that maybe aren't helping the matter a whole lot. In other words, they're going to get splashed because they're basically in a good crowd of people. There are some folks that don't know God and do not fear God and may in fact speak against God, who think that it doesn't matter if you serve God or not, good is going to come to them anyway. But they're living on secondhand blessings. Did you hear what he said? He said, listen, if it really gets bad, I'm going to stop the rain. But the fact is, if it's overall pretty good, I'm going to be sending the rain. You have the right rain, you all get it. The fact is, not everybody in that crowd loved God with all their heart, with all their mind, all their soul, and all their strength. But they got the rain anyway, because God rained on the just and the unjust. Now, sometimes we are living in a society, in a situation, in a family, in a church, maybe among certain people, and we're being blessed, especially young folks. You may find you're being blessed. It could be because mom and dad's being blessed. You're underneath their umbrella. I've seen way too many young folks who step outside of mom and dad's house, and all of a sudden everything goes haywire. I mean, everything just goes crazy. And they think, what in the world happened? And we feel like, well, you know, I just have having a run of bad luck. There is no such thing. All right? And we say, well, something's not going on. Well, it could be that all of a sudden we stepped away and the blessings are splashing all over the place over there, but we decided to walk someplace else. We're not walking it where it's being splashed. The fact is, I want to take the splashing with me. You follow what I'm saying? I want to take the blessings with me. But I can't take it if they're being blessed for that person and not me. When God was about to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, Abraham prayed for Lot in the midst of the deal. Remember this? God would have spared the entire wicked city if there were just 10 righteous people in the city. But there weren't. That's what he said. So in other words, the wicked would have enjoyed a secondhand blessing because of a few folks, though not perfect. There were a few folks who feared God. Some folks would have been the recipient of secondhand blessings. He would have saved the whole wicked city. Just find 10. America has been living on secondhand blessings for years. Our forefathers feared God for the most part, and they established this country on the statutes and the precepts of the Bible. And God blessed them as he promised. Psalm 33:12 says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance." God established a great nation on this continent called the United States of America, and God made it very great and has soared to high things. And we have stopped relying on the Lord, and yet we are still gliding on the momentum, if you will, from our founding fathers and the updrafts we have had over the years when portions of our country has confessed sin, turned from their wicked ways, sought the face of God, and prayed. However, if you listen to many of our national spokesmen and politicians, you would think that American pride and determination is what brought us here rather than the grace and the mercy of God being shown to us who fear him. Many a child of Christian parents has grown up under the umbrella of their parents, have been protected from the world, the flesh, and the devil in many ways. They think that is what life is like. However, they grow up and leave home and they think they can conquer the world, but instead they get run over by the world and don't understand why. They've been living on secondhand blessings and didn't realize it. They were receiving blessings from being under their parents secondhandedly, if you will. Now they're out from under the protection of the umbrella and do not understand why they're no longer being blessed like they were. Now, they should grow up and leave the house. I understand that. But we've got to make sure that our kids have a personal relationship with God themselves before they get outside their house. We're here to prepare them to face the world. Now, we should be grateful for the secondhand blessings, especially while we're young. But there comes a time when we need a one-on-one relationship with the Lord personally. Also, if you are if you are one that rides the spiritual coattails of others, you need to make sure you don't hit the ride with the wrong coattails, because you may get some secondhand cursings. They all say, "I don't drink, and I don't chew, and don't run with girls that do." All right, got to watch who you run around with. Let me give you a number. First thing I want to do here, number one, but just not really a point. I want to give you a couple examples of secondhand blessings. I don't want to spend a lot of time, but just try to bring them to your remembrance. Secondhand blessings. The first one is Lot and Abraham. Now, Abraham left the Ur of the Chaldees. He's out in the wilderness. His nephew Lot went with him, and Lot ran around with him. If you know the story, we've talked about it. I'm going to hope you kind of know the story. As long as Lot was hanging around Abraham, Lot was a very wealthy man. The whole wilderness. Remember what happened was Abraham, God blessed Abraham and his all his wealth and his servants and so forth and so on. And Lot, he had so many servants and flocks and so forth and all this cattle and all this stuff. And finally they say, you know what? We got too much. We we can't even live in the same area. We need to divide up. So while there, so the whole wilderness was not big enough to hold both his wealth and the wealth of Abraham. That's a lot of crowd there. Of course, maybe they were like, was it Davy Crockett or Daniel Boone? One of them said that he lived out someplace and there was a house with 1 mile within his house. And he decided it was too close. He had to move further out. The place was getting too crowded. But anyway, maybe that's how they felt. But he says that he said the whole place we can't live in the same area. We're going to have to divide up. Now Lot was getting blessed because he was running around with Abraham. So what does Lot do? Lot cast his tent down towards Sodom and Gomorrah. It was the wickedness of the world, and he knew that. He knew it. You go back and read it. He knew it, and he thinks he is all that in a bag of chips, and he can handle the world. And so Lot goes down, takes his family down, and casts his tent down near the city of Sodom and Gomorrah and takes all his stuff. The next thing we hear about Lot is what? He's living in the city, right in Sodom in the middle of the sin. Now you think about this. If there was not enough room for all his riches in the wilderness when he was with Abraham, how could there be enough room in the city for everything he had? I'll tell you how. By that time, he had lost it. He had lost his riches by that time. He escaped Sodom and with just two of his daughters and the clothes on his back. You don't see him going out of town and stopping on the way and getting his massive herds and his servants and taking them with him. I don't think they were there. I don't think they were there. When we ran around Abraham, he did just fine. Lot had been enjoying the secondhand blessings of the friend of God. James 2:23 says this, and the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God and was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Lot ran around with a guy that was a friend of God. And while he ran around with a friend of God, he was doing all right. And he thought he could do it all by himself. And when he got away from the friend of God, all of a sudden the secondhand blessings stopped splashing. He got out of range, and he was all there on his own. Who in here is living on secondhand blessings? Or can you go to God yourself and call on God yourself? And he would say, he's my friend. She's my friend. A little later in the story, Abraham prays to God to spare Lot's life. You remember? Lot was not spared because of his righteousness, but because Abraham was God's friend. Genesis 19:29 says this, and it came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain that God remembered Abraham and set Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in which Lot dwelt. James 5:16 says, confess your faults one to another, pray for one another, that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Abraham prayed. Lot was saved, but not because of Lot. Jacob and Laban, you know the story? I read it here a little while ago. Laban said unto him, he says, I found favor in thine eyes, tarry, for I have learned by experience the Lord hath blessed me for thy sake. You know, on Sunday night, we were talking about Joseph. And, of course, he was sold into slavery. He was bought by Potiphar and down in Egypt. But the fact is, Potiphar puts Joseph to work. And it says this, it came to pass from that time that he made Joseph overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. Secondhand blessings. The prison keeper. Joseph gets falsely accused, thrown into prison. And he's working in the prison, but he's not working in the prison all that long until he becomes ahead of everybody else. It says in Genesis 39:23, the keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with Joseph, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. So Joseph is running things. There's this prison keeper is being blessed by the blessings that God was giving Joseph. All I'm trying to say is there's such a thing as secondhand blessing. Okay? Now, it could be that a lot of us live on secondhand blessings. Now, I'll be honest with you, it's not bad. If you've recently received Christ, you need to hang around the right people. Find somebody the Lord is blessing. I'm not talking about necessarily by money. That may not be a good sign. But I'll tell you what. For instance, preachers, if something goes well, they want to tell everybody about it. But every once in a while, you get somebody who's trying to tell everybody else how to build a church, and they never have. They've never been able to build a church more than a half a dozen people, and then they said, well, I guess my ministry is to help everybody else do it. If I'm going to get some advice on how to work a church, I'm going to go to somebody who's done it. If I want to get advice how to build a business, I want to find somebody who's built a business. You know? So listen, it's good that we find folks that the Lord's blessing. Watch this. If I want to know how to raise my family, I'm going to hang around with folks who've raised good kids. They're already grown up and they're doing what they're supposed to do. That's who I want to hang around with if I'm going to raise kids. And there's nothing wrong with getting those secondhand blessings. But sometimes there comes a time when we got to grow up. Let me give you number two. Secondhand blessings are often the result of secondhand faith. Secondhand blessings are often the result of secondhand faith. We may be trusting some individual's faith in God and have seen God bless them, and so we are trusting God to work through another individual and hoping we're going to get some of the splash. Essentially, we are trusting the faith of the other person more than the faithfulness of God ourselves. This is why some preachers encourage us. You say, well, why do you use so much scripture, preacher? I mean, after the third passage, I about had enough. I'll tell you why I use scripture. I want your faith in the Word of God, not in the Word of Sterling Walsh. And too many preachers get you to almost to bow down to them like they're God, and then when they do something stupid, and we're people, we probably will. Even if it's just a coarse word, a unkind gesture, or something we should have done, we didn't think about, or whatever. I was in the hospital for 4 weeks, and the preacher never came to see me. And I think I forgot all about it. I was busy trying to do this, and you said, "Well, how you do?" And then I failed them, and they think God failed them. God didn't fail them. Sterling Walsh might have failed you, but see, if you're living off of my blessing. Well, you know, I've had people say, well, it sounds crazy. I'm not trying to be mean here. But I'll go and visit somebody. We have somebody from our office here go to visit York Hospital and Memorial Hospital. We have somebody lined up every day. And we will do, you know, Holy Spirit. We'll do Harrisburg. We'll do Hershey as we need to. We've even done Johns Hopkins, some other things as we need to. We don't do that every day. We don't have somebody lined up. Now, I'm not scheduled to go there every day. In fact, I'm scheduled to go on Monday now, and I think Nathan does Tuesday. We just changed it because we brought Charles on. Nathan does Tuesday. Brandon does Wednesday. We don't have anybody on Thursday, but we have Charles on Friday, and then I kind of do cleanup on Saturday if I haven't been down there already. You say, well, and there's people who say, well, the preacher didn't come see me. Well, they went in on Tuesday and got out on Thursday. My day's on Monday. Now, I care about you. The reason we have somebody lined up to do that every day is because we care about you. But it's almost like, well, you didn't come down, preacher. You sent the second string. Now, watch me. I remember when I was in the hospital and I had my appendix out and I was there for a week. The preacher never came to see me. I was on his staff. But you know what? I never gave it really much thought. Did you realize I could call on the Lord myself?
You see, I didn't need the splash from Norris Belcher to get my blessing. See, I don't have to go through him to get to God. I can go straight to him. We are a kingdom of priests. So are you. Well, the preacher prays for me, I'll probably be okay. Well, I don't know. Maybe I had a fight with my wife that morning and my prayers are being hindered according to the Bible. I'm serious. No, we don't fight. We honestly, we really don't. But it's possible. We're living on secondhand faith. We're trusting, sometimes we're trusting the group. And we're going along with the group. We are trusting some organization. Some people think that if they are associated with a church, that they will be blessed by God by association. We come to church to build our own personal relationship with the Lord, to see our sin, to confess our sin, to forsake our sin, so we can see the mercy of God and thus have a place, be in place for the blessing of God ourselves. Now, we come to church, that's good, and you make a splash on some blessings and just enjoy it. I mean, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But you might be missing out, and you might be in a real, between a rock and a hard place one of these days because you don't happen to be near the folks where the blessings are coming from. Number three, secondhand blessings are often the result of the prayers of others. Secondhand blessings are often the result of the prayers of others. Hang tight with me. Abraham prayed for God to destroy Lot. Genesis 19:29 says, I've already read it, it came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain that God remembered Abraham, and he drug Lot out. Didn't say he remembered Lot, even though the Bible says that it was in chapter 2 of verse of Peter, to 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 7, it called Lot just Lot. That doesn't mean it was just Lot. It means that he was justified. So he's saying that he believed God. He was going to be in heaven. We're going to see Lot in heaven. But he wasn't living for the Lord, and he wasn't living for the Lord himself, and he had moved away from Abraham where he was getting the blessing. And so the fact is, Abraham said, oh, that dumb boy. My brother's boy is down there, and they're going to destroy Sodom because God told Abraham what was going to happen. And Abraham said, whoa, my nephew's down there. He said, and then so he goes down and said, well, if there's 40, if there's 30, if there's 20, will you save it? If there's 10. Figuring at least there ought to be 10 righteous people in the whole town. That should be Lot's family itself. And there wasn't. But God said, well, I'm still going to destroy the city, but okay, for Abraham's sake, I'll get Lot out of the town. Secondhand blessings because the prayers of others. We don't know if Lot ever knew that the reason he was spared was because of the intercessory prayers of Abraham. We don't know that. In fact, Lot's descendants from an incestual relationship with his daughters, Moab and Ammon, they're the enemy of Israel for years and years and years. And the fact is, they wouldn't have been alive if it hadn't been for Abraham praying for him. Moses prayed for the Israelites that the Lord would not consume them in Exodus 32. There was one time where God said, dude, listen, Moses, this stuff, a stiff-necked bunch, I'll just kill a whole bunch of them and start over again with you, Moses. And Moses, you don't want to do that, Lord. We'll get this worked out. He just wanted to see Moses' heart, really what it's due. He wasn't going to do that, but Israel enjoyed the blessings of God because of the prayers of someone that they didn't even like. They got mad at Moses. They wanted to stone him at one time. James 5:16, there again. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Why am I saying that? I'm saying it this way. Sometimes we think we got our prayers answered. People say, well, I'm not living on secondhand blessings. My prayers got answered. We don't know who else has been praying for you. It might have not have been your prayers that got up there. It might have been the prayer of some person who loved you, cared about you. And it might be somebody that you've already turned your nose up. And it might be some, and you might, listen, you might be blessed and you're alive today because somebody prayed for you and now you've you're almost their enemy. They consider you their enemy because they don't like it, but the fact is they're alive because of your prayers. They're living on their secondhand prayers. Or maybe you're living on somebody's secondhand prayers. What I'm saying is, it's search me and try me and see if there be any wicked way. It's that I want to know sure that I've got a relationship with God. I'm not riding the coattails of anybody. You say, well, I'm being blessed. This is good. This is good. Yeah, we're all fine. Maybe we're living on secondhand blessings. Number four, when we are living on secondhand blessings, this goes right with what I just said, we can become confused. We're living on secondhand blessings, we can become confused. We don't understand why the blessings seem to be there 1 minute, and then they're not there, and we haven't changed anything. Abraham prayed for Lot. Lot was delivered. Lot's life and the lives of his family go bad anyway again when Lot decides to run his own life after he's already been delivered. Listen, why are my prayers not being answered consistently? Well, maybe they weren't your prayers in the first place that were answered. I'm just being serious with you here. It could be it was the prayers of others praying on my behalf that have been being answered. Someone else has been praying for you and they stopped, maybe. But I'm praying. Maybe so. But it may not have been your prayers that were being heard. Psalm 66, 18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. That's pretty plain. So listen, I'm being blessed and I'm doing just fine. I know I got this little secret sin that I'm doing. I know I got this little thing going on in my life. You know, I kind of did this under the table here, and I've got this little thing here going on the side. You know, I'm still being blessed. Maybe you're being prayed for. It may be you're just simply under the rain on the just and the unjust. But don't justify your sin because you're still doing well. See, that's what America has done. Well, we've been doing this kind of stuff for years, and so we're still doing well, so it's okay. No. We're running on the momentum of what had been going on. If God would have saved Sodom for 10 people, then it really doesn't take a whole. If he has the same proportions for America, it could be. It could be that there's just enough saved folks around here in America that's keeping the wrath of God from taking this thing down. Proverbs 15:8, the sacrifice of the wicked, or the worship of the wicked, is abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. Proverbs 15:29, the Lord is far from the wicked, but he heareth the prayer of the righteous. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination. And when you, Isaiah 1:15, when you spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. John 9:31, though. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, he heareth him. We don't need to be counted as a sinner. We confess and forsake our sin. James 4:1 says, whence comes war and fighting among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust, that war in your members? You lust and you have not. When I say lust, it means you desire, gotta have this. It might be a car, it might be new clothes, it might be all kinds of things. It might be a new job or position, not just a sexual lust. You lust, you have not, you kill. You desire to have, you cannot obtain, you fight in war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss that ye may consume it upon your own lusts. John 15:7, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will and it shall be done unto you. John 14:12, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye ask anything in my name, I will do it. So it could have been, it was a fervent prayer of another righteous person that's been availing much in your life. Now, I'm not trying to drag you down here. I'm just saying, make sure that you're under the spout yourself. And you're splashing on everybody else. Not living on the after splash of some other Christian. The blessings come and we think we must be doing well in our walk with God. And then everything falls apart and then we start to question God's faithfulness. We may even think that the blessings that we were receiving were just a nice coincidence and not the answer to prayer. And so we turn our back on the Lord. What we need to turn our back on is the sin in our own hearts. And then go to God with a surrendered heart and a fervent prayer. Number five, when we are living on secondhand blessings, we can become proud. I've seen this. I'm not going to stand here and call names or anything. And it's usually not the spiritual people who do this. But sometimes you get to a church and it's like a church becomes almost like a sports team to them. In other words, you've got Steeler fans over here and you got Eagles fans over here and you know, you've got the Ravens fans down here, you know, and we're Steelers, Raven, you know, and then you throw in a Cowboys fan. Well, you know, but anyway, And we do that, but people say, we're from Lighthouse Baptist. Oh, you're from over there, that church. Well, we've got a, you know, and we start insinuating, we got a better church than you got because we're from Lighthouse Baptist. And you get this proud stuff. Don't you do that in my presence. Personally, I'd rather you not do that in God's presence. I'm thankful for what God has given us here. But we're not the only people in the world that believe in God and serve him. And sometimes it's people who get in there and the Lord is blessing a ministry, and all of a sudden, well, we're Lighthouse Baptist. You know what? Listen, guy, you're being blessed by secondhand blessings because of this. Because listen, God resists the proud; he gives grace to the humble. If you're being blessed and that's the way you're acting, it's just because you're running around the right crowd and you're getting splashed on some secondhand blessings. I'm thankful for Lighthouse Baptist, and I'm thankful for everyone we have. But we're not the only ones in the world. We got to be careful. We throw that pride in there. If our blessings are secondhand, then it's because of our relationship with the Lord is strained and secondhand. Yet we often think that we're being blessed because of our own righteousness. Lot got full of himself, decided he needed more space. Thought he would continue and need more space, even though he was leaving the fellowship with Abraham. And if we were right with God, we would have to be humble to be right with God. However, we're not right with God, and so we're most likely trusting in ourselves, patting ourselves on the back, and the state of our heart brings more resistance from God because God resists the proud. This becomes a vicious cycle and a downward spiral because we're living on secondhand blessings. You get the blessings of God because he blesses the humble. Number six. Personal blessings come with a personal relationship. Personal blessings come with a personal relationship. We need to have our own personal relationship with God. We need to be confessed up. You know what confession really means? To say that what God said was right. He says, sin, bad. All right, sin, bad. This sin, well, That was not so bad, Lord. That's kind of normal these days. Now, that sin's bad. But see, confession is saying, I may not even understand why it's bad. I may understand later, but I don't even understand now why it's bad. But God says it is. So it is. And eventually you'll find out why he said it is. to confess it, to say, that's in my heart. You think it's wrong? Then it's wrong. We need to want the will of God. You want a relationship with Him? You need to want the will of God. Do we stand under the spout where the blessings are coming out? Or are we just getting splashed by others? Situations and circumstances can come to the point where the ones getting the blessings move away or pass away or even get off the way themselves, and then we're left to the disposal of the world after the after splash of God's blessings. I remember some years ago, I named our oldest daughter Esther, and I basically named her after not just the lady in the Bible, my aunt, my father's aunt, Esther. Her maiden name was Esther Walsh, just like her maiden name was Esther Walsh. And she was a godly woman. She prayed for me. I knew she when I became pastor. I pray for you every day. And I hate to say it. I think, well, okay, thank you, appreciate it. And a time came when, and I knew that she had passed away. And I just realized, I just don't feel like God's hands on me like it was. I mean, we're doing good stuff, but just not like it was. And it was like the Lord said, I know, Esther's with me. When she died, I lost a prayer warrior. And I remember telling some folks in my choir down there, I said, I had several said, I'll pick it up. Listen, Sterling Walsh does not take credit. At least not for the good things. I'll take credit for the bad things. But I'm not going to take credit for the good things that's happened in this ministry. I believe that an awful lot of it has to do with the prayers of saints here and elsewhere who know me, who have prayed that the Lord would use this little hunk of mud for the glory of God. We need to seek first-hand blessing. Yeah, I know I've quoted this so many times, you can quote it with me. Psalm 1. Blessed, blessed. Not second-hand blessing, first-hand blessing. Blessed a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. You can put it in here. But blessed is a man in the law, to see the light. Meditate day and night. And he should be like a tree planted by rivers of water. That means when the drought comes, when it doesn't rain for years and years and years, his roots are right there in the rivers of water, and he's still looking good. Everything else around him is dying. In other words, there's no second-hand blessings to have. But he doesn't need second-hand blessing because his roots are in the living water themselves. He shall bring forth fruit in his season. Everything else around him is dying. But not him. He's still bringing forth fruit because his blessings are first-hand. He didn't need some other shade tree to keep him cool and shaded so he can survive. He could be right out there in the middle of the parched ground, but he's rooted in the living water. Watch this. And his leaf also shall not wither. He's not even going to look any worse for the wear. There's no secondhand blessings. And then he says, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. See, that's the tree that a lot of us want to gather up underneath of. Jad and I have been down to Williamsburg a few times the last few years, and there's a they call it a living oak. I don't know if some of you have been to Williamsburg, but there's on this one, kind of on a side road, kind of a second road back, not on the main street, but there's this huge, huge tree, and you think it must be hundreds of years old. It's really not all that old, relatively. but it's called a living oak. What it means is it never goes dormant. It's like it's almost like an evergreen tree. And it just keeps growing. And it just, I'll be honest with you, if we put this, if we put that in this room, of course it'd be higher than the ceiling. It'd probably almost fill these two sections here, wouldn't you think? Great big long limbs. Now, other thing, people go under it for the shade and the protection. And there it stands exposed to all the elements, thriving. That's where we can do. Get your own blessings. Stop living off the secondhand blessings and the backsplash from others. Now, enjoy them. I mean, yeah, but don't rely on them. Go to God yourself. Spend some time in the Word of God. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Spend time confessing the sins that the Word reveals to you, and it will. Then watch, obey the Word. You want a relationship? Go to Him, get in His Word, confess the sins that reveals, obey Him, then spend time giving your every need to the Lord in prayer. And you'll get your own blessings. You don't have to live off of secondhand blessings. Now listen, I'll be honest with you. I don't want to live next to a cesspool. I want to live next to where the fountain of the water of life is growing. And that's right. And so I want to be amongst others that are being blessed. I don't want to live in a parched wilderness if I don't have to. But if all else fails and everybody else deserts me, I've got a Lord that never leaves me nor forsakes me. And will bless me. I didn't do this for you. If you see this, do this verse. Isaiah 51 says this: "Hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord. Look unto the rock whence he are your hewn, and to the hole of the pit whence ye are digged." He says, "Go back." So I want you to listen. Look unto Abraham your father, and unto Sarah that bare you. For I called him alone, and blessed him, and increased him. Abraham had nobody to get secondhand blessings from. Now you know what he's saying there? You can be like Abraham. Come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord, and I will be a father unto you. Listen, we need each other as part of the church. But if all else fails, we had better be sure that we are not living on secondhand blessings. But we got our own relationship with God. We got to pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Kind of a tough warning here this morning. Lord, I pray you'll help us to realize that we can have firsthand blessings. Heads are bowed and our eyes.